This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Welcome to the radio and internet ministry of the Christian Crusaders. When we face a dilemma in life, the answer we receive from scriptures can sometimes seem very simplistic, and we find ourselves wanting to adapt it in one way or another. We're going to continue our Surprised by God series in today's message as we visit about the surprising value of God's Word.
God is full of all kinds of surprises. His Word can be especially surprising, as we'll see in today's Old Testament story. Stay with us. We begin in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's pray. Almighty and merciful God, we approach your throne of grace this day with gratitude in our hearts for all that you've done for us. Your mercies never end. Thank you for this opportunity to connect with you today in worship. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. Amen. Our reading for today is taken from 2 Kings chapter 5, beginning at verse 1. Naaman, commander of the army of the king of Aram, was a great man and in high favor with his master, because by him the Lord had given victory to Aram. The man, though a mighty warrior, suffered from leprosy. Now the Arameans, on one of their raids, had taken a young girl captive from the land of Israel, and she served Naaman's wife. She said to her mistress, "If only my lord were with the prophet who is in Samaria, he would cure him of his leprosy." So Naaman went in and told his lord just what the girl from the land of Israel had said. And the king of Aram said, "Go then, and I will send along a letter to the king of Israel." So Naaman went, taking with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, and 10 sets of garments. Here ends the reading. We'll finish the story in our message. Dear friends, our God is full of surprises. There's a story about a very dignified pastor who was visiting a lady in a nursing home. She was on her deathbed. As he stood to leave her, he asked if he might pray for her. And she said, "Of course, thank you, Pastor." He asked her, "Well, how would you like me to pray?" She said, "Pray that I might be healed." He kind of swallowed and said, "Well, okay." So he took her hand and prayed that God would be with her and bring her comfort and strength and healing. When he finished praying, her face began to glow. She said softly, "Pastor, I'm feeling a little better. Would you help me to my feet?" Not knowing what else to do, he helped her up. At first, she took a few uncertain, unsteady steps. Then she began to jump up and down, and then to dance and shout and cry with happiness until the whole nursing home was aroused and people were crowding outside her door in the hallway. After she was quieted down, the dignified, solemn pastor hurried out to his car after he excused himself and closed the door, grabbed hold of that steering wheel in his car, and he prayed a little prayer. "Lord, don't you ever do that to me again." Our God is full of surprises. That's what we've been looking at the last few weeks here in Christian Crusaders, looking at some Old Testament stories. We've been surprised by God's draft picks as he selects Gideon to do battle with the Midianites on behalf of the people of Israel, or how he exercises such amazing grace to Adam and Eve after their sin in the Garden of Eden. Well, today, we're surprised by his word, his directives, And Naaman is our case study. As I read earlier, Nathan was a mighty commander, a five-star general, so to speak, a mighty warrior, very successful in battle. And our writer tells us that his success was due to the fact that the God of Israel gave him the victories, as if to say, he's God of everyone, of the world. He was Aramean, this Naaman, not one of God's people, considered to be an outsider, unclean to Jewish folks. He was also an unclean outsider among his own people. You see, Naaman had a dreadful disease called leprosy. It's a grotesque skin disease. One day, Naaman was told by his wife that she had heard from her young Jewish maiden, which he had captured in one of his conquests, about a Jewish prophet. What a direct line with God, a spokesman of God, that lived in northern part of the Promised Land, Israel. She said, this prophet of God, the young maiden said, could take care and heal this leprosy of Naaman's if they could just get together. So Naaman acts upon this tip, which in itself was an act of faith, wasn't it? He goes to the king of Aram and he requests a leave, tells him what he's heard from this Jewish maiden, and the king gives him leave and actually even sends him off with a letter of approval and lots of cash to get this healing paid for and taken care of once and for all. Thing is, Naaman is sent to the king of Israel, not to the prophet the Jewish maiden had described. And this king, when approached by Naaman with this letter from the king of Aram, went into a panic when he read the letter. You see, Israel had already been pretty beaten up by these Arameans. And when Naaman presents the paper requesting a healing, the king tears his clothes in great consternation. He says, "Do I look like God? I can't do that." And he insists that the king of Aram is picking a fight with him. And he goes into a deep, deep panic and depression. Now, the prophet of God that this young maiden had described, whose name was Elisha, hears of the king's panic. And he sends a message. "Why are you tearing your clothes in such a panic? Just send him to me so that he may know that there is a prophet in Israel." And so the king sends Naaman to Elisha. And Naaman goes to the outskirts of town with his entourage, with the chariots and servants and stallions pulling those chariots. And he stops at the door of Elisha's house and knocks on the door. And lo and behold, Elisha doesn't even come out to meet with him. Instead, Elisha sends his messenger with these simple directions, a command and a promise. "Naaman, just go dip in the Jordan River 7 times and you'll be healed. Your skin will be cleansed." Naaman, of course, gets upset by what he considers to be an insult, poor treatment. And he refuses to listen. His ego is wounded. This guy won't even come out and meet with him face to face. And the prescription sounded so absurd and ridiculous. And Naaman's pride began to get in the way. He had preconceived notions as to how this healing would happen. And now he's not getting that. Instead, he gets this word from this man of God to jump in a river. And he says, "I'm going home." He's in a rage. But cooler heads prevail. His servants come to him and gently talk him down and get him to follow the instructions, to take this word from the prophet and get into that river. So Naaman swallows his pride and he surrenders himself to Elisha's word, God's word. He dips himself in the Jordan River 7 times and surprise, surprise, he was healed. His skin became as smooth as a child's. Naaman immediately became a believer, a servant, a worshiper of the God of Israel. Listen to this announcement he makes. Now I know there is no God in all the earth except in Israel. And he becomes a keeper of the first commandment of God, something which Israel itself was not doing at the time of Elisha, which is why they were having such trouble. And Naaman tries to pay off Elisha in gratitude, and Elisha says, this is God's doings. I'm not taking money from you. And then Naaman says to Elisha, I'd like to take back a couple loads of dirt from this place, this holy land, and make an altar to the Lord with it, and keep worshiping God. Just keep a sense of connection with you. And that's how the story ends, with Naaman, now a believer in the God of Israel, surprised by God's word and even more surprised at the truth of that word. It's a funny little story in a way, don't you think? Makes you wonder, why was this story kept around? Why is it here in the middle of Israel's dark, unfaithful days in history? And what does it have to say to us today? Well, it's a lesson. It's a lesson for those of us who call ourselves God's people. Sometimes God's ways seem all too simple, even foolish to us. Absurd. So different than the way we think. Naaman had his own preconceived ideas of how his healing would and should happen. And when he is surprised by Elisha's words and instructed otherwise, he balks at the command of God's word and rejects it. But then when he gets his mind straightened out by a servant and follows it, he finds himself cleansed, healed. So what did he learn? That there is no God but this God, and that he ought to take him at his word. I don't know about you, but I find I need to learn that same thing over and over again. You see, Naaman is not all that unusual, is he? And this story is rather relevant for people like you and me. As human beings, we struggle with God's word sometimes. We're surprised by it, surprised by his directives and his promises. I'm reminded that God said through the prophet Isaiah, my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways. I'm reminded of that again and again, and we see it at work in this story today. Let me give you, for instance, of how this can work in people's minds, how we struggle with it. A person comes to see me and says, I've really loused up my life. I feel far away from God. I've done some terrible things. What do I need to do to get right with God? I want to start over. I tell them, God says, believe in my son, Jesus Christ, whom I sent to save you. Surely there must be something more I need to do in order to be spiritually healed, is the response. Isn't there something special I need to involve myself. I need to earn this, don't I, to get right with God? After all, you get what you deserve. And the Word of God says, no, trust in Jesus for your spiritual healing and salvation. And again, I find that people struggle with that. They find it all too simplistic, sounds too easy, and they walk away. By the way, this story of Naaman found its way into the New Testament. Turns out it was a personal favorite of Jesus, the Son of God. We find him using this story in Luke chapter 4 as he's kicking off his ministry in his hometown of Nazareth. He'd been asked to read at the tabernacle on the Sabbath. He read from the prophet Isaiah, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he appointed me to proclaim good news to the poor, to proclaim release to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free and proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And then he said to the crowd listening, "Today this word has been fulfilled in your hearing." And the people questioned what he said and his claims. "Isn't this Joseph's son, the carpenter? God wouldn't work like that. Through a simple carpenter's son? No way." And they balked at the message and the opportunity to follow Jesus. And that's when Jesus told the Naaman story of an outsider of Israel who was a leper, who acted in faith and was healed. It's his way of saying to them, you ought to consider Naaman's story and reconsider your doubts about me. But they didn't. They just got mad and they tried to kill Jesus, rejecting the salvation he was offering. The Naaman story is a call, a reminder to trust our all-wise, all-knowing, all-powerful, ever-present God and to take him at his word. And like the old hymn says, trust and obey. And not just in matters of salvation, but in all of life. Let me give you a for instance. Someone has hurt you deeply. You're really mad. You're offended. The more you think about it, the more bitter you become. What should you do to get past this? It's making you miserable. God's word says, don't hang on to that grudge. Forgive as you have been forgiven. That's the way of life and freedom in my kingdom. But hearing that, we want to add to it or just neglect it altogether. We want to get even. But some might say, well, that sounds too simplistic. We know better. That person needs to ask for forgiveness first. When she asks for forgiveness, then I will forgive and let it go. Or he's got to make this up to me somehow. And then I'll forgive. That makes so much more sense to me. And so until that happens, I won't forgive and let this go. And they're miserable. Not forgiving someone and holding on to a grudge is like drinking poison and expecting the other person to die. It just doesn't work. My dear friends, the bottom line of this message today is trust in God's surprising word, his promises, and his directives, and you will find life just like Naaman. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, your ways are mysterious to us and yet so wonderful. We thank you for the reminder of how important it is to trust and obey your word. Help us, Lord, to trust your promises and follow your directions for the rest of our lives. It is obvious that you know what makes our lives work best, so we entrust ourselves to your care. In the name of Jesus, we ask this. Amen. Now, as you go on your way, may Christ go with you. May he go before you to show you the way, behind you to encourage you, beside you to befriend you, above you to watch over, and within you to give you his peace. Amen.
You have been worshiping with the radio and internet ministry of the Christian Crusaders. We pray today's message will help you trust in God's surprising word and find life just like Naaman did. Christian Crusaders' first program aired on September 6, 1936 as an hour-long broadcast of the worship service at Trinity Lutheran Church in Waterloo, Iowa. Its purpose was to serve the community of believers who were unable to attend services. 79 years later, our purpose remains the same today. We're grateful to our listeners and supporters who have helped us continue serving the gospel of Jesus Christ to the world through radio waves, the internet, and satellite. If today's program has spoken to you and you're able to do so, we ask that you please consider making a contribution to this ministry so we can continue to bring the good news of Jesus Christ to listeners across the country. Address your letters of support to Christian Crusaders, Post Office Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa 50613. If you'd like to receive a CD or printed copy of today's program, please call us at 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. You may also direct your request to Christian Crusaders, Post Office Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa 50613. We're happy you were able to worship with us today, and we pray you'll be able to join us again next Sunday on this station. Conducting our service was the Reverend Steve Kramer, Senior Pastor of Shepherd of the Valley Lutheran Church in Afton, Minnesota, and speaker on Christian Crusaders, now beginning its 80th year of continuous Sunday worship broadcasting.